Okay, welcome everybody to our special 90s learning program at the Ohal Sara Amen Group. We are learning Zichos Aliyah Neshama Sara Yuta Alaha Hashalom Bas Ephraim Menachem Mendel Vedina Martin Sheyichyu. Also Zichos Refuah Shalema Fechai Rezva Bas Dina Besoch Sha'ar Chol Yisrael. Our Torah should be a merit for them. The title of today's shir, here we are on Beis Av. And the title of today's shir is the first Tisha B'Av, Woman of Faith, Woman of Valor. The Megillah, Megillas Eicha, tells us in Perek Aleph, Parsa Tzion B'Yadeha, Tzion spreads out her hands, E Menachem La, but there's no one to comfort her. Tziva Hashem L'Yakov, Sevivav Tzarav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded against Yaakov, the enemy shall surround it. Haisa Yerushalayim L'Nida B'Nehem, Yerushalayim has become impure amongst them. Yerushalayim spreads out her hands, Eila Menachem, Ein Menachem La, there's no one to comfort her. She was known as the other doctor of Auschwitz. Her story is told in Yita Halberstam's series, Small Miracles. However, when I was preparing this year, I did Google her name to look up online, and I found a fascinating piece on her in the New York Times as well. Not, I don't read the New York Times, but it happened to be I did read this piece on her. It was an interview with her from 1982. It was absolutely amazing. And I will tell you her story of the other doctor of Auschwitz. A young woman, we'll call her Chaya, had just arrived in Auschwitz. She was a young bride of 19. She was forced to suffer the infamous Mengele's selection. She watched her husband being taken. She never saw him again. She was 19 years old. She understood that he was no longer amongst the living. There was constant fear. There was constant hunger. There was constant pain and oppression. And however, she discovered a small glimmer of hope. Chaya realized at one point she was expecting. She was pregnant. A small part of her husband still lived within her. Her friends in the barracks explained to her that trying to keep this baby during this time would only result not only in the baby's death, but in her death as well. She begged for help, and finally someone told her, go see Dr. Gisela Pearl. This is the other doctor. She had been an obstetrician in Hungary before the war. She was known amongst the inmates as trying to help whomever she could, quietly, secretly. She moved amongst the prisoners. She dispensed medical help. She dispensed healing whenever possible. She had helped hundreds of pregnant of women in Auschwitz. How did she help them? And in the interview that I read in the New York Times, again, it was an interview with her. She died in 1985. Before she died, she helped these pregnant women by not keeping the babies alive. That's how she saved the mothers' lives and those who perhaps collaborated by hiding the mothers during their term, during their pregnancy. Chaya went to Dr. Pearl, and Dr. Pearl examined her. And she told her that she was too far along to abort the pregnancy. She would have to deliver the child to term. You will have to hide your pregnancy. And when it is time, you will come to me. And I will do what I have to do to save your life, said Dr. Pearl to this young bride. Chaya asked anyone and everyone who would listen to her, what did Dr. Pearl mean by I will do what I have to do to save your life? Nobody would answer her. Finally, one woman could take it no longer. And she said to young Chaya, when your baby is born, the doctor will kill the baby. It's the only way. Chaya managed to hide her pregnancy. And some months later, she found that it was time to deliver the baby. She went to Dr. Pearl. And there on the floor of the latrine, the baby was delivered. And through the entire process, Chaya begged the doctor, please allow me to keep the baby. Through her tears, Dr. Pearl explained that if the baby was kept alive, not only would it endanger Chaya's life, but the lives of so many other women as well. They will murder your baby. They will murder you as well. If I survive, she said, one day, Dr. Pearl said, if I somehow survive, I will dedicate myself to bringing life back to this world. And if you somehow survive, you too will go on and you will merit to bring life into the world. The baby was born, and Dr. Pearl took the newborn baby just immediately after birth, and she killed the child. Chaya did survive the war. And after 2 years in a DP camp in Sweden, she made it to Bar Park. It was the early 1950s. And there she began to rebuild her life. She married. And one day she found that she was pregnant. Her husband wanted her to go help, get help from an obstetrician. But Chaya had very mixed feelings about seeking out a doctor's help. One day, she was walking down the street past the doctor's office. And she saw a sign hanging on the lawn for this doctor, this OBGYN. And the name said, Dr. Giselle Pearl. Chaya walked into the office unannounced, and there, standing on the other side of the desk, was none other than Dr. Pearl. She, too, has survived the war. She felt somebody staring at her. She looked up, their eyes locked. They hugged. The tears were flowing. Dr. Pearl had kept her promise, and she did survive the war, and she came to New York after the war, and she became an obstetrician to save babies, to bring life into the world, and she reminded Chaya that they had not forgotten their promise. She survived the war, and she was going to help bring babies into the world. She survived the war, and she was going to bring new life into this world, and this time, Dr. Pearl took Chaya under her wing, not on the floor of some decrepit, hellish bathroom in Auschwitz, but on Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn. And when it was time to deliver the baby, Dr. Pearl shouted what became her trademark birthing cry, a life for a life. It is estimated that Dr. Pearl saved an almost 10,000 Jewish woman in Auschwitz. She died an unsung hero, but her greatest joy in life was the babies that she delivered in freedom. It was her act of defiance in a post-Holocaust world. So we're coming up to Tisha B'Av. Who wants it to be Tisha B'Av again? Not because we have to fast. Okay, we feel a little hungry. Who wants it to be Tisha B'Av again? And here we are. How did we get here in the first place? Parsha Shlach, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Gimel. Shlach Lecha Anashim V'yasu Es Eretz Kanan Asher Ninosim Livnei Yisrael. We're about to enter the land. Osim Anachnu Al Hamakom, Moshe said to Yisro. In 3 days, says Rashi, Moshe said, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. But before they went in, they sent scouts. Why, Rav Salvechuk says, you have to check out the land. Asur la'adam she'yakadesh asa'isha lifnei she'yirena. It's usur for a man to marry a woman before he sees her. We have to check out the one we will be betrothed to. And the scouts went, and of course, we know the infamous ending. 10 said, lo nucha la'alos. We can't go up. Eretz Ochaz Yoshvali, a terrible land. It's too strong. It consumes its inhabitants. God hates us. We're going back to Egypt. 2. Caleb ben Yefuna and Yoshua ben Nun said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od im chafetz Hashem banu. The land is so good. If God wants, we will be successful. 10 people managed to convince an entire nation that not only was Eretz Yisrael not blessed, but it was cursed. And if they would go there, they too would be cursed, and they would meet failure. And we should not go up to the Holy Land. Perek Yadalit, Pasuk Aleph of the book of Bamidbar, Bamidbar Batisa Kol Ha'eda, Vayitnu Es Kolam, Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hohu. The entire assembly lifted their voices. They sat in their tents, and they cried that night. And you know the famous Gemara, Maseches Tainis, Chaf Tes, you know the famous Gemara. Batisa kala eda vayivnu es kolam. The entire assembly lifted up their voice, vayivku ha'am balayla ahu. The people cried on that night. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oso hayam erev Tisha B'Av hayah. You know when the spies came back? They came back on Erev Tisha B'Av, which for us is this coming Monday. Erev Tisha B'Av. So what does it mean, Vayivku Ha'am B'Layla Ha'u? Which night? They got the evil report, Erev Mo'ed, Kara Alay Mo'ed, Lishbar Bachurari, and they sat to cry that night. Amar Lama Kalash Baruch Hu, you know this. Kalash Baruch Hu said, Atem B'Chisa B'Chia Shalchinam. You cried for no reason. You had nothing to cry about. I'm bringing you to Eretz Nachle Mayim, Eretz Chito Sa'ora. I'm bringing you to the land of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. What are you crying about? אתם בחיסם בחיר שחינם. אני קובע לכם בחיר לדורוס. You cried for no reason, so I will establish for you a crying for generations. What's bechir ledoros? You know, I said in a few shiurim, it's hard to prepare my shiurim for the 3 weeks, and there are a lot of them, and it's hard to give them. Elo, we could talk about teshuv and the power of repentance and return to Ribono Sha'olam, and the whole theme of the 3 weeks is a very difficult theme. It's supposed to be difficult. This is the time we're supposed to feel the most acutely the pain of Churban Yerushalayim. That's Churban. So I send a number of shiurim. You know, it's very hard for me personally to imagine exactly what it means that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. I'm talking about the actual structure of the temple itself. I was never there. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents were never there. I could read Sfarim, the Mishkan book, I could see 3D presentations in Yerushalayim. I don't know exactly what it means to be Makriv HaKarban in the Beis HaMikdash, to be Olah LaRegel, to bring Bikurim. How can I know? I don't have a frame of reference. So what does it mean, Atem Bechisem Bechir L'Doros, Atem Bechisem Bechir Shalchinim, Ani Kovei Lechem Bechir L'Doros, you cry for nothing, so I will establish a crying for generations, so we do, Rachman Alitzlan, have a frame of reference with which we use, we tap into, we understand to mourn Churban. What's Bechir L'Doros? I'm going to quote from a book called Against All Odds, which I recently finished reading. The author's name is Barbara Bloom, an American Ola. Her son Moshe was seriously injured in a field accident. He lived for 13 years post his injury, and it's the family story of how they took care of their son. Barbara Bloom writes of her son Moshe, Zichrono Levracha. He was injured in a terrible accident. We saw our son slipping through our fingers. We saw him withering. Excuse me, I have water. We saw him withering before our eyes. I finally began to understand. This is right at the end of Moshe's life, and I no longer prayed for a complete recovery, but rather Hashem should have mercy on him, watch over him, protect him from suffering. That night at 1 a.m., Alex, her husband, urged us to go home and get some sleep. And he said, the minute he saw any change, he would call us. We were exhausted. We went home. At 6 a.m., knocking on my bedroom door, it was her son of Inoam, Ima, wake up. We have to go to the hospital. Abba called. We have to get back to the hospital. We got into the car. We drove to the hospital, she writes. My heart pounded nonstop. I was weak, frightened, just as I was 13 and a half years ago when we were informed that Moshe was injured and we had to go to the hospital. I prayed he would be alive, and we got there. We arrived a few minutes after 6 a.m. Moshe looked just as he had looked when we left him 5 hours earlier. His blood saturation was lower. I stood by Moshe. I prayed to Hashem, watch over him, have mercy on him, keep him from suffering. At 7 a.m., there was a change in shift. Moshe's doctor arrived. At 7:15, his monitor reported his blood oxygen level was zero. His doctor heard the alarm and came running. He asked us to leave the room, and then he came out a few minutes later with tears streaming down his cheeks. There was Moshe in his bed, swollen, wounded, darkened, but freed from what it had suffered. The doctors took out the monitors, disconnected the breathing tube, turned off the respirator. It was Friday at 7:15 a.m., 24 Menachem Av, 5763, August 22nd, 2003. And after the Shiva, Barbara writes, she wrote the following poem. We beg you, O Lord, watch over our son, a free spirit, freed to heaven, just born, orphaned from his parents, alone, forlorn. Under your wings, permit him to rest. Give him direction. Let him be blessed. Residing with the angels and those of pure soul, his spirit was pure, wholesome, and whole. enfold him for us with a hug and embrace so he may feel welcome in his heavenly place. We beg you, O Lord, watch over our trust for his last suffering days he suffered for us. That's Churban. That's Avelus. That's the destruction of Tzion and Yerushalayim. That's Galus. Atam Bechis and Bechiel Shalchinam. Because sometimes we're too shallow to understand that there's nothing really to cry about. Rachman HaLitzlan, may God save us. And here we are crying ever since. I do want to change the tone of the shir a little bit now, and us women learning together, put a little bit of a different spin on this particular shir that I'm giving during the 3 weeks, because not everyone cried. If you recall, the title is the first Tisha B'Av, Women of Faith, Women of Valor. So Chazal tell us, Al hanashim lo nigzera gezera samaraglim. Upon the woman, the decree of the meraglim, what was the decree of Dar Meraglim, Dar Yotze Mitzrayim? The decree was that that generation was not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Everyone between the ages of 20 and 60 who sat to cry that night, who accepted the Lashon Hara of the spies, the slander of the meraglim, was going to die in the desert. Very interesting punishment, by the way, for that door. What did they want to do? Not go into Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem gave them what they wanted. So what kind of punishment is that? You don't want to go in, so don't go in. Sometimes getting what you want is a punishment. But you don't realize it's an after. It's a consequence of your behavior. They thought the worst thing in the world would be to not go in. So God said, so don't go in. So stay here, wander aimlessly. For 38 more years in the Midbar, except Al Hanashim Lo Nidzra Gezeira Samaraglim. Upon the women, the decree that was decreed upon that entire generation was not decreed. Lefi Shehein Mechababos Et Ha'aretz. Or Lefi Shehein Mechababot Et Ha'aretz. Why? What did Rashi just tell us? Rashi is quoting Medrash Tanchuma. They loved the land. The land was dear to those women. Ha'anashim omrim nitna rosh v'nashuva mitzrayim. The men said, let's appoint someone in charge of us and let's go back to Egypt. Va'hanashim omros, and the women said, v'noslachad tina lanu achuza. Give us a portion in the land. Our father died without sons. Why should his name be erased? Why can we not inherit the land? And therefore, Medrash Tanchuma says on these righteous women, the gezera of the meraglim was not decreed. Lefi shehanashim mechababot, mechabavos, because the women loved the land. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch writes, during Israel's long wilderness wanderings, filled with so many difficult experiences, the women did not take part in the incidents of deflection from God, which resulted from despair. There were so many incidents of rebellion, which all resulted from despair. Sham Shurfal Hirsch says, during their long wilderness wanderings, the women were not involved in these rebellions. They were not involved in the incidents of deflection. They cheerfully trusted in God and waited for him. And for this reason, they were not included in the decree upon that generation. Now, as they're about to cross land, we're just opening up the book of Devarim. It's the final 37 days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right before the people cross in. Mothers and grandmothers are about to go up with the new generation to the promised land. And these mothers and grandmothers are bringing with them personal recollections of their past from Egypt. They are bringing their experiences of their journeys in the wilderness under God's guidance. They, these special women who did not sin, who maintained their emunah, could refresh the souls of their children and their grandchildren from their spiritual wellspring of experience with God. The fact that these Jewish women were so deeply imbued with the Jewish spirit may be ascribed in no small part to their leader. Who was their leader? If I asked you who's the leader of the women in the desert, you would tell me? Miriam HaNeviah, may be ascribed in no small part to Miriam, who set a shining example as a prophetess, as a Neviah, as a leader. It is perhaps for this reason that the Torah in its wisdom tells us, when we go back to the beginning of Parshas Yisro, not really the beginning, Perikya Tess of Parshas Yisro, it's the beginning of Matan Torah, and I know you know this also, and you have heard it many times, Moshe Allah El Ha'alofim, Moshe went up to God, so to speak, on the mountain, and Hashem called to him from the mountain, Kosomer Leveis Yaakov, V'sagid Lebnei Yisrael, Kotomar Leveis Yaakov, so you shall say to the house of Yaakov, V'tagid Lebnei Yisrael, and tell the sons of Israel. Rashi famously says they're Beis Yaakov. Who is the house of Yaakov? Elu HaNashim. These are the women. Tell them in a soft language, says Rashi. Tomar lahem b'lashon raka. Tell the women Torah in a soft language. But this pasuk and this Rashi are so noteworthy because in the order of the giving of the Torah, Kosomer leBeis Yaakov. If you want the Torah to build the house of Knesset Yisrael, you have to tell the women first. The Beis Yaakov, the woman, represents the home. Rachel was Yaakov Avinu's Akeres Habayis. The woman represents the home. Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Klal Yisrael. That's an unbelievable statement. The Jewish woman is the most important asset to Klal Yisrael. And he says it doesn't matter who the father is. Could be the biggest and most important person. But if the mother's not Jewish, the child will not be Jewish. And the mother doesn't need to be a famous tzaddikus in order to pass on Jewry to her child. A pasha, Jewish maidservant in province 89 of the kingdom of Esther, a nameless Jewish woman, is enough to pass on the Jewish heritage. Who is the Beis Yaakov? Who is the home, the house, the entity, the foundation, the Jewish woman? Many young couples, former students of Rabbi Machlis, people Henny had influenced to become religious, couples she matched up, would sleep overnight on Shabbos in the Machlis home. Henny's friend, Allah Shalom Zechor Levracha, Henny's friend Chana related, we were once talking about the many young people who used to come. They would not just come, these young couples, they would sleep over. There are not a lot of bedrooms in the Machlis house. So I said to her, I said to Henny, don't these people have a home? Don't they have somewhere to go? She said, yes, they have a place to sleep, but they don't have an Abba. They don't have an Ima. They have to come home to their Abba and Ima, because all young couples have to sometimes come home for Shabbos to the Abba and Ima. So I'm the Ima, and Mordechai is the Abba, and this is their home. Rabbi Machlis relates, after reading this vignette, Rabbi Machlis relates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often compared to our father. He is Avinu, Shabbashamayim, Avinu, Malkeinu, he is our father. But at least in one place, Rabbi Machlis quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Hashem is compared to an ima, a mother. And the pasuk says, Ke'ish asher imo tinachamenu, by the way, it's relevant for our days of mourning, like a man who is comforted by his mother, Kein Anochi, so too I, the Ribono Sha'olam, Anachamechem, I will comfort you, Ubi Yerushalayim Tenuchamu. And from Yerushalayim you'll be comforted. So in this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not compared to an Abba, he is not Avinu, he is rather Imenu, Ki'ish Asher Imo Tenachamenu. Like a man who is comforted by his mother, so too I will comfort you. Rabbi Machlis says, it means generally, there's no one in the world who can comfort a person like their mother. My wife, he says, was the ultimate mother. But she wasn't just a mother to her own children. She had many, many children. She had many, many grandchildren. And she was the mother who comforted them all. Many people came to her with their problems, their issues, their broken hearts, their difficulties, their challenges. And somehow she found a way to be an ima who comforted. It doesn't say like a child comforted by its mother. Generally, we tend to think of who needs a mother? A baby, a little child. Once the child grows up and they become self-sufficient, you tend to not think they don't need an ima anymore. But the pasuk says, ki'ish, like a man comforted by its mother. Everyone, at every age, said Rabbi Machlis, needs a mother. And this, he was saying, was my honey. She was the ima to all those people who had a house but not a home. She was the ima to all those couples who needed somewhere to go. Kosomer lebeis Yaakov. The beis Yaakov is Elu Hanashim. Pia Pascha b'chachma. V'soris chasad al lishona. Her mouth is opened with wisdom. And the Torah of chasad is upon her tongue. Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal has such a beautiful piece on the Mesorah of the mother and the Mesorah of the father. Quote, people are mistaken in thinking there is only one Mesorah and one Mesorah community, the Mesorah of the fathers. This is a mistake. It is not true. We have two Mesoros, two traditions, two communities. The Mesorah community of the father and the Mesorah community of the mother. And then he quotes our pasuk, Ko somer lebeis Yaakov v'sag lebnei Yisrael. So you should say to the Beis Yaakov, Elu Hanashim, that's one Mesorah. V'sag lebnei Yisrael, and tell the Bnei Yisrael, that's another Mesorah. Shema b'ni musar avicha, that's one Mesorah. V'al titosh Torah simecha, that's another Mesorah. Hear, my son, the chastisement of your father, but do not reject the Torah of your mother. What do we learn from each Mesorah? So Rav Soloveitchik says, one learns much from the father. What do you learn? How to read a text, the Chumash, the Gemara. How to comprehend, how to analyze, how to conceptualize, how to classify information, how to infer, how to apply what is morally right, what is morally wrong. What do you learn from the father? I'm going to repeat it. How to read a text, the Chumash, the Gemara, Mishnah. How to comprehend, how to analyze, how to conceptualize, how to classify, how to infer, how to apply. What is morally right? What is morally wrong? Father teaches the son discipline of thought and discipline of action. What does it mean, discipline of action? How you keep the halacha. What do you do? How to act as a Jew. What is the mitzvah? What's the halacha? Discipline of thought, discipline of, no, don't, I'm pointing the heart, it's the wrong thing. Discipline of thought, discipline of action. Why do I say it's the wrong thing to point to my heart when I'm talking about Musar Avicha? Because that's the different Mesorah. A father teaches how to read the text, how to analyze, infer, conceptualize, classify, apply, act, do, think. What's Torah Simecha? What's Kosomer Lebeis Yaakov? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? And then Rav Soloveitchik gives a personal recollection. He says, permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked. I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use a halachic term to answer my own question. In Yane Diyoma, whatever was going on at the time in the Jewish calendar is what my mother spoke about. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of Yom Tov. I used to see her David. I used to watch her recite the Sidra every Friday night. I still remember her nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. What did he learn? He didn't learn the halacha from his mother, he's saying. He didn't learn how to conceptualize, analyze, classify, infer. He didn't learn discipline of thought and discipline of action. He learned that a mother arranges the house for Shabbos and Yom Tov. He learned how a mother davens. He learned how a mother recites the Sidra every Friday night, and he remembers the tune. Most of all, I learned Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but as a living experience. What's Torah Simecha? It's the living experience. That's, now I can point to here.
It's the heart. She taught me there is a flavor, a scent, a warmth to mitzvos. Formal compliance with the law is Torah Savicha, Musar Vicha. You gotta keep the halacha. How? We keep the halacha. The passion in keeping the halacha, the warmth, the emotion, the heart in asiyas hamitzvos, in tefillah, in bakasha, in setting the table. That's Torah Simecha. My mother taught me there is a flavor, a scent, and a warmth to mitzvos. I learned from my mother the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulder. Without my mother's teachings, which were often transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbos were passed on to me by my father. This is Musar Avicha. The laws of Shabbos are Musar Avicha. Tagid b'nei Yisrael. Shabbos as a queen, as a living entity, was related to me by my mother. What huge steps we have to fill. What an unbelievable tafkid we all have. On the gezeira of the meragim and that whole generation, Medrash Tanchuma tells us, Medrash Rabbah tells us, Rashi quotes it, the women were not included. Shamshon Falahur says they were not involved in the incidents of deflection from God. They cheerfully waited for Him. There is an emotion to Yahadus. There is a passion to mitzvos. There is a soul to tefillah. Formal compliance with the law, zman, kriya shema, what you say when, if you forgot Murid Atal, when you should be saying Mashav Aruah. You have to know that. Musar Picha. Torah Simecha. Not the halachos of Shabbos, but Shabbos as a living entity. Shabbos the queen. That's Torah Simecha. The fathers knew much about Shabbos, says Rav Salavitchik. The mothers lived Shabbos, experienced her presence, perceived her beauty and her splendor. The fathers taught generations how to observe Shabbos. Mothers taught generations how to greet Shabbos and how to enjoy her 24-hour presence. Now, it's interesting. A couple years ago, one of my children came in, and it was Friday afternoon. I'm sure you've had the same experiences. And I was cooking, and she said, "It smells so good in here." I think it was the potato kugel. But that's part of the Shabbos experience, and that's part of Torah Simecha. It's not only formal compliance with the law. Remember, Rav Shamshon Falahirsch said this generation of grandmothers will teach their children and their grandchildren what they learned from their experiences. And just this was even more recently, though the Shabbos kettle was going up. I feel so bad. Now we got a new one. It doesn't make noise. The old one was dripping, so I needed a new one. You know, the Shabbos urn, you plug it in, and the old ones used to make like a hum. So recently, a few months ago, one of the boys said, "I love that sound." I didn't even know what he was talking about. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "It sounds like Shabbos." I don't believe it. There was an association in the Shabbos kettle with Hachana, with greeting the Shabbos Malka. Kapa Parsa Liani, now we have a new one. It doesn't make any noise. They want to, you know, benefit you. It doesn't make any noise. I miss the boys now. Kapa Parsa Liani, it only makes noise when it boils. You know what I'm talking about? Kapa Parsa Liani, her hand is outstretched to the poor person, to the pauper, her palm is open. Henny taught something so beautiful. Let's say you have $100. There's a knock at your door, it's someone collecting charity, you give him $90. So now he has 90 and you have 10. How much do you have left? So Henny says, "You think it's a trick, right? I know how much I've left. I have $10 left." So Henny said, "No, it's the exact opposite. The $10 you're going to use on groceries, you're going to use it on gas, you're going to use it to pay your bills. You don't have $10. How much do you have left? The $90 you gave away,
That's what you actually have for eternity. Because the $10 is going to be spent, papa parcel, yanavya, da'ashokhala, everyone. What you actually have is the act of mitzvah that remains. The $10 you're going to spend on gashmis, you need it, but you don't have it. What you have is the ma'isa mitzvah, the act of doing. Chachmas Nashim Bansa Besa, Mishlah famously tells us, Vivalz Biyadah Tarsena, the wisdom of the woman builds the home, and the foolish one destroys it with her head. We don't have time for now, but the Gemara actually tells us that Korach's wife was behind his production. And Om Ben Pelas was saved by the wisdom of his wife. Chachmas Nashim Bansa. Here's the word again. What's the word? Besa. What does the woman build? Not only the home of her home, but the home of Knesset Yisrael. So I want to share with you, and some of you may have seen it, but I think that it's not only so appropriate for the 9 days, which it is, but I think that it's also appropriate for our shir and understanding the unique koach of the Jewish woman. I think it's also very important because we tend to think of building our home as our own Dalet Amos, our home. But what is the power of the Jewish woman to build the home of Knesset Yisrael? Some of you may have seen this going around in English. Many people sent it to me in English. But somebody just today, and I added this at the last minute to the shiur, sent me a picture of the actual note. So now I could really quote the note from Lashon HaKodesh, and it came from a very reliable source as well. This is the paper that Chaya Solomon, Hashem Yikom Dama, used to include with her students' report cards. When she gave them their report card, she included a personal note along with their grades. Talmida Yikara, to my dear student, when I give out, when I distribute the report cards, when the semester is over, I'm going to read it with the Israeli pronunciation. The Chaya Solomon certainly read it with the Israeli pronunciation and my yeshivish pronunciation. I always remember a different report card. Kimat kimo bebeit sefer, almost like the report card that you bring home from school. However, it's a little different. This report card notenota avinu shebamaram hashochein b'chol makom. This report card is given to us by your Father who dwells on high, who is in every place. Ach bimkom miktzaot utotzaot mivchanim, but instead of grading us in subjects and finals, who michalek tziyunim la miktzaot habaim, he gives us grades in other subjects. Yedidut, friendship, savlanut, patience, havana, understanding, ahava, love, tuv lev, do you have a good heart? God grades us. Achrayut, are you responsible? Hakarat tov, do you recognize the good that people do for you? Anava, are you humble in your life? V'hi chashuva oto hatu'uda. This report card is very important, Chaya Solomon told her students. Afilu yoter mikol tu'uda acharat. This tu'uda of Avinu Sheba Maram is more important than any other report card you will ever get from kindergarten to college. V'lo rak pam b'shana u'pamayim. And you don't get God's report card every semester. You know, the kids bring home after the first term, the second term, and then the final term. You don't get it pa'am b'shana u'pamayim. You don't get it once or twice. Ela b'chol daka she'overet. God grades you on yedidut, savlanut, havana, ahava, tuv lev, achrayut, hakarat tov, anava. Bechol daka she'overet. With every moment that passes. Ki harbe pa'amim. Because the truth is, Talmido, many times, b'mirutza tachayim, during the generation, the rats, the running of life, shochachim anu, v'shuv shochachim. We forget about this other report card. And then we forget again.
Shelihiyot adam im midot tovot,
to be a person with good midos,
zehu hamibchan ha'amiti b'chayim.
This is the true test in life.
B'hatzlacha, wishing you good luck. Ha'morachaya, morachaya.
Until I had the original, I was hesitant to quote it.
Why? You have to be careful with what goes around online. You don't necessarily know where it came from, just the word in general. We should keep that in mind.
This was sent out by One Israel Fund, and again, not the translation, the actual picture of what she gave them. I assume everyone knows who I'm referring to. Chaya Salman was murdered this past Friday night. She opened the door, expecting the first guest for the Shalom Zachar of her new nephew, and she was the first to be stabbed. Notein ata avinu shebamarom shochein b'kol makom. This is the report card that I want you to remember, Talmidah Hayikara. But you got in biology, comes and goes, you won't be a scientist. But you got in mathematics, you won't be an accountant. But you got in English language arts, you won't be an author. Umichaleik tziyunim lamikta'ot haba'im. V'hi chashuva oto hatuda, afilu yoter mikol hatudot b'chayim, v'chol daka she'overet. Why do you think it's so relevant to our shiur, besides for the fact that we're talking about the koach of the Jewish woman? Because we're specifically talking about the koach of the Jewish woman to build the home. Chachmat nashim bata beita, chachmas nashim banza beisa, the wisdom of the woman builds the home. And the women of that generation, lo nigzeira, gzeira samiragim. The gzeira of the miragim is not decree. So when the pasuk tells us, vatiso kol ha'eda vayinu es kolam, vativku am vayivku alam b'layla hu, when the pasuk tells me everyone sat down to cry and the people cried that night, you know who wasn't crying? The woman in the home. She wasn't crying. Why is this so important? Because this Chaya Salman was not Zocha to ever marry or start her own family. She was 46 at the time that she was stabbed. She lived with her parents. Her father, of course, Yassi, was murdered along with her. Her brother, Alad, Hashem in Kondara. She wasn't Zocha to her own home. But look how tremendously, how poignantly, how powerfully she taught her students. Judaism has a scent, a flavor, a passion, a heart. We all have the ability not only to build our own home and our own Dalet Amos, but even the wisdom of the woman who is not Zocha to her own home can build the home of Knesset Yisrael. That's the only money we have left in the bank. The $10 you think you're holding on to, it's going to buy your groceries. You don't have it. But the money that you invest in building up Knesset Yisrael, that's yours for eternity. Our candle does not go out at night. Tama kitov sachra lo yech ba'balayla neira. You know, it's so interesting. Vayivku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu. The people cried that night. It was Tisha B'av. Yerushalayim ba'chosiv ke'balayla, says Yirmiyahu. Yerushalayim cries at night. However, whose candle does not go out in the darkest times of night? Tama kitov sachra lo yichba balayla neira. What is the primary koach of the mother? Fascinating that the womb is called racham. Reish chas mem. Nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident. It's called a racham, where the child grows and is nurtured. And it's called rachamim, to be a compassionate and merciful person. The very essence of the Jewish woman is that she is a person of great rachamim. Racham is a womb. She nurtures the next generation. And rachamim is to be a compassionate person. Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch has such a beautiful comment on the creation of Chava. By the way, when she's created, I try not to call her Chava, even though that's how we identify her. She's not called Chava to the end of Perek Gimel. She's called Isha. But that's important. Who was created at that moment? Not one specific woman named Chava. Every Isha since that time. And the Pasuk says, Vayivin Hashem Elohim es hatzela asher lakach min ha'adam le'isha. Hashem took the part, the portion of the side from Adam, and he made Isha. So Adam was created from? Dust from the earth. Vayitzer Hashem Elohim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama. Vayipach ba'apam nishmas chayim. Hashem Elohim made man dust from the earth. Man is made from dust from the earth. What is woman made from? A human being. Woman is made from man. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, I'm not making this up, go look it up, Bereishis Perek Beis, Pasuch HaBeis. Our sages ascribe, Chazal ascribe, all the special qualities of woman. Her voice, her character, her temperament, her earlier spiritual and intellectual maturity, to the way in which she was formed. I will repeat that sentence. Our sages ascribe all the special qualities of woman. Her voice, her character, her temperament, her earlier spiritual and physical development to the way in which she was formed. Isha, woman, was formed from an already living, feeling, sensitive human being, as opposed to man, who was taken dust from the earth. We are a compassionate, understanding, caring, Tomar lahem b'lashon raka. Speak to the woman in soft tones. We have to remember where we were created from. Not a clod from the earth, but from a human being. From a human being we were created, and we take that kolach and we create onwards in our rachem of rachamim. So the very first night of Av, the very first Tisha B'Av, the very first morning, we have established, Chazal have established, was because they believed Lashon Hara of the spies. Everybody cried except for the women. How did this whole story start? When you look in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, Perek Yogimel, the very, very famous Pasuk, Shlach Lecha Anashim V'yasu Es Eretz Kanan Asher Ninosin L'vnei Yisrael Yishachad Yishachad L'mate Avosav Tishlichu Osam. Take one man per tribe. Shlach lecha anashim v'yasu es eretz Kanan. So the commentators debate and ask so many questions. Why shlach lecha anashim? Send for yourself, men. Just say shlach anashim, send men. What's the lecha? Well, if you send somebody, I don't know, to the grocery, you don't say, please go get for yourself milk. Please go get milk. What's the lecha? So there are many interpretations. But I want to share with you the comments of the Kli Yakar. On Bamidbar Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. You with me? So beautiful. Lafisha Amru Chazal. Because the sages say, Ha'anashim hayu sonim esa aretz. The men despised, they rejected, they hated the land. Va'amru nigar rosh v'neshuva mitzrayim. The men say, what are we doing traveling between Egypt and Israel in this horrible desert? Why don't we just stay there? We had fish for free, we had meat for free, we didn't have any mitzvahs to deal with. Let's go back to Egypt. Anashim hayu sonim es ha'aretz. Anashim hayu mechavebo ta'aretz. The women loved the land. Ve'im came, therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please listen very carefully to what the Kli Yakar writes. You can't make this up. Lefi da'ati, She'ani ro'eh be'asid, haya yoter tov l'shloach nashim, ha'mechav bo'z esaret. Do you hear what the Kli Yakar just said? Shlach lecha anashim? You want to send men? Lefi da'ati, she'ani ro'eh be'asid, but according to what I see in the future, said God, haya yoter tov l'shloach nashim, it would be better to choose 12 female scouts to scout at the land. Kilo yisapu bignusa. Because those women of faith will not come back and slander my land. Avalacha lida'atcha sha'atar svurim savur sha'atar savur shekesherim heima "You, Moshe, you're so sure that these men are upstanding kosher men? You're so sure Sha'aretz Chaviv Aleim, you're so sure these men love the land? Tishlach Anashim." Okay, therefore, says the Kli Yakar, that's why it says, Shlach Lecha, Leda'atcha Anashim. According to your opinion, said men. Aval Leda'ati, Hayayoter Tov, Lishloach Nashim. That's an unbelievable passage of the Kli Yakar. I think it will be better, says God, to send women scouts. This has nothing to do with equality. This has nothing to do with egalitarianism. Chalila v'chas. This has nothing to do with gender, whatever they call it, equality. I think I said that already. Kosomer leveis Yaakov v'sagad lebnei Yisrael. The woman is the base of Yaakov. The woman establishes not only her home, but the home of Knesset Yisrael. Shema b'nim l'sar v'icha. You should learn. You must learn formal compliance with the law. Don't forget there's something else. How does the challah smell when it's baking? I say it smells like Olam Haba. I think that's how it smells in Olam Haba. We should get there. May best from Shabbat. How does the Shabbos kettle sound when it's humming? I didn't even know that sound was important to anybody. Father, says of salvation, taught the generations how to keep Shabbos. Mothers taught generations how to greet Shabbos, live Shabbos, feel Shabbos, love Shabbos. And even somebody with the wisdom of the woman who was not Zocha, for whatever reason, the Baal Shalom has his cheshbonos, so we can't understand, was not Zocha to build her own Dalet Amos. Even somebody who is not Zocha to that can still be an integral, crucial component of Knesset Yisrael. Because we all have a racham. Sometimes we nurture our own biological children with rachamim, and sometimes we nurture the children of Israel with rachamim. Aval da'ati hayayoter tov lishloach nashim. If you want to send men, okay, let's see how it goes, but I think it would be better to send women. Rav Soloveitchik says, the biblical woman is modest, humble. She enters the stage when she is called upon. She acts with love and devotion. It is quite interesting that although Avraham Avinu survived Sarah by 38 years, his historic role came to an end when? Bereishis Chaf Dalet. What happens after Sarah Aminu dies and she's buried, beginning of Parshas Chayisah? Immediately the Shidduch is found. We go from burying Sarah to the story of Yitzchak. Once Sarah is gone, Avram Avinu's time in the limelight, so to speak, is finished. Soloveitchik says, without Sarah, there would be no Avram Avinu. No Yitzchak or not for Rivka, no Yaakov without Rachel. Sheker Achim, Behevel Ayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem, Titis Allah. Sheker Achim. Beauty, external beauty, is just shaker. It's nothing. It's that $10 you think you still have. Hevel hayofi. Beauty is hevel. Hevel hevelim. Isha yiras Hashem. He tisal. When everyone around you is panicking and nervous and crying and the land is so bad, and we maintain our steadfast emuna in the Ribono Shel Olam, that's what sustains not only ourselves and not only our homes, but this beautiful nation of Knesset Yisrael. Afilu yoter mikol tuda acheret. And we are graded on this b'chol daka she'overet. Shelihiyot adam im midot tovot ze ha'mivchan ha'amiti b'chayim. And this is the legacy that the Jewish mother, whether she is a biological mother or a figurative, metaphoric mother. That's what we pass on. And that's why we didn't sin by Egel under the direction of Miriam. And that's why we went into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, Be'ezras Hashem, B'schar Nashim Tzikanios, Shayi Ba'oso, Adar Negali Yisrael Mitzrayim, we were redeemed from Egypt in the merit of the righteous, steadfast faith of the women.
if we recognize our own strengths, if we go in their ways, if we emulate the generations of Torah's Imecha who came before us, and Be'ezras Hashem, we too will be redeemed from this long and bitter galus. We should be zocha that our days of mourning turn to rejoicing, our tears to laughter, our cries to song. Halo chelech uvacha, no se meshach hazara bo yavo verina, no se alumasav amei v'amei. I wish you a meaningful, uplifting, and hopefully we won't have a Tisha B'Av. Thank you, everyone.